Moncrief on News Talk.
In the early 1970s, John Lennon performed at the One to One event. It was the first full concerts since the Beatles last he had performed and since the Beatles in 1966. And that One to One event was to be his last. A new documentary called One to One, John and Yoko is about that concert, but also about the couple. Sam Rice Edwards is co-director. Sam, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how you doing?
Now, the film starts way before the concert was staged, some 18 months before that. Why did you start at that point?
Well, it was a point at which John and Yoko left the UK, really escaping sort of a very difficult time they were having after the breakup of the Beatles and Yoko being vilified in the press. And they moved to New York and they moved into this small two-room apartment, not a two-bedroom apartment, but a two-room apartment, almost a bedsit, which opened onto the street, which was, you know, something very unusual for probably the most famous couple in the world. And they stayed there for 18 months, and it was an amazing time in their life where they sort of got to know a lot of people in Greenwich Village in New York. And basically this period led up to the concert, so it felt like the time in the flat in the apartment was the natural time period for the film.
And that period of time and that decision to move into that very small flat, when obviously they could have afforded something much larger, it was a political decision, and the people they went out to make links with, they were all political decisions.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they arrived in New York feeling extremely powerful, really, feeling like they could change the world and wanting to do good. And they were looking around how to do that. They came into contact with, you know, radicals such as Jerry Rubin, and they became quite political. So they set off, really, you can see in the film, really sort of planning a revolution. But through the course of the film, I mean, I don't want to put any spoilers on it, but, you know, maybe they learned that wasn't actually the way, and they turn their gaze to more smaller events that they could make a big difference with,
yeah,
such as the concert.
Yeah, and when did legally speaking, when they arrived in New York, did they only have a visa for a year? Or when did the trouble start with John having to fight deportation?
Well, that really started as a result of his political activity. I think that's, you know, clear in hindsight, but that's what happened. And so, you know, it was probably about 5 or 6 months after he had arrived in New York that the government really started to revoke his visa and send him back to the UK. I think they felt that that was an easy way to deal with the problem that he posed.
Yeah, and he was on Nixon had this list of enemies, whether they were enemies of the state or just enemies of Nixon. It's a matter for debate. John felt perhaps his phone was being bugged.
Yeah, I mean, John and Yoko were extremely paranoid at the time. There was a lot of strange noises on their phones in the flat, in the apartment, and they felt like they were being followed. And I think it's true that they were. There's no definitive proof, but it is rumored from the powers that be at the time that that was happening.
Yeah, and in the film, you do actually include these recordings of some of these phone calls.
Well, the amazing thing is, you know, they were living in this small apartment and sort of planning their life from there. And they had a phone in their apartment, which loads of people called. And John was actually recording his, you know, a lot of the phone calls that were coming in. So it was actually, I mean, I'll just tell you quickly, it was an amazing moment when we were making the film, when these phone calls were discovered, because they had just been in a box.
Yeah. Are you still there, Sam? That sounded a bit wrong.
No. Yes. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. No, we're kind of, yeah, sorry, it kind of broke up there. Yeah, you were, yeah. What kind of people did you find recordings of phone calls with? Who was he talking to on the phone?
Really, it was a, you know, huge array of different people. Jerry Rubin, Alan Klein, his manager, all the people who worked for them. I mean, it was really everyone that they were in contact with, and they were in contact with a lot of people because they were very active at this time, you know, and very engaged politically. So there was a huge amount of characters popped up on the phone calls, and so it was an amazing find to have found these phone calls that hadn't been heard ever, really.
When they moved from the UK to New York, did the vilification of Yoko continue?
Well, I mean, I think yes. They obviously escaped it in New York, and it wasn't, she didn't face the same issues in New York. But I think it is really, it was interesting making the film because I think it's echoed through time and it still exists today. There's still this kind of anti-Yoko sentiment, which is ultimately, I think, based on sexism and racism. And we hope that this film goes some way to portray Yoko in a more honest light.
Sam, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That film is called One to One, John and Yoko.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.